What about it, punk? Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle.
Hang on. You're about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with your favorite AU commentators, Vic Herron and Stan Stevens.
Prepare to be entertained and informed. Your life might even change.
And now, your studio host, Keith Maxwell.
Okay, folks, we're back again. I want to start off this week. We've been getting some comments from one of our loyal listeners, and we got a question this week. Admittedly, the guys kind of avoided this topic last week, and so our loyal listener called us on it, and they wanted to know about a couple of people that and so what we thought about it. So we're going to let, Vic start off, get to talk a little bit about Jovan Robinson and then possibly D-liner. So go ahead, Vic.
Okay. All right, Keith. I appreciate it, man. It's nice to have somebody making some comments out there about our show. And sure, Jovan Robinson was a four-star running back out of Memphis and pretty highly recruited guy, a bigger back, and that's something that we don't have at Auburn right now. And, you know, a lot of good buzz about him so far is looking good. You know, most people are expecting him to, you know, possibly get in there in some short yardage situations once he gets the offense down and or possibly even redshirt since we have some other guys right now. But he's a highly touted guy and a talented guy. And, you know, everybody was pretty excited about him and there's some good reports coming out about him. And but now he's not at Auburn anymore or he's or soon not to be. But. You know, basically what happened was he had his grades changed in high school. I think his counselor admitted that she had changed grades. She lost her job. And, you know, obviously that's not a good thing for Auburn. And it's not a good thing for Jovan Robinson. I think the speculation is that he'll either go to a prep school or to junior college. Of course, you know, as an Auburn fan, I'd like to see him go to prep school so that he'd still have 5 years to play for once he comes back. And hopefully he can do that. And it's a very unfortunate situation for him. Of course, a lot of details are still not out there as far as, you know, why she did this and, you know, who asked her to do it and was she just trying to help out Jovan and, you know, it's just one of those things where we don't have a lot of answers yet. But the bottom line is he's no longer going to be playing for Auburn and eventually maybe he can come back. Anything you want to add on that, Stan?
Well, I mean, you basically covered it all. I think it's a loss. I mean, the kid was performing you know, really well through the summer workouts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, and like you say, and of course, as far as Auburn, I mean, there's not a shred of any kind of evidence that Auburn had anything to do with it. We're not sure why this lady, if it was just trying to help out a young man. And so we don't know what her motivation was. But, it's like you said, there's several backs in front of him, and Vic, as you pointed out on some other shows, you know, a freshman coming in and playing it's very difficult, especially if you're at a position where there are several guys that have been practicing and are quality backs in front of him. But you just hate to see it for him, you know, any kind of shadow cast over maybe, you know, as far as his character, I don't think there's anything. We haven't heard anything that he may have even done wrong. So, but I'm like you. I hope he has you know, comes back. If he goes the junior college route, I understand you'll have you know, he has to stay 2 years there. And then as far as the I think D-liner was the other person that we talked about. He's a kid we're recruiting that's committed to us, and has had some. Had a few problems over in the Florence area, and of course, Vic, you may have to talk about. You may know a little bit more about the transfer rules. There's been some talk about him possibly wanting to go to another high school, maybe even in the Florence area. But I mean, he's a great football player, and I've read a lot of different accounts that he's a pretty good kid. He's had a couple of run-ins. One of them involved, I think, his mother. And you know, there's a lot of talk about what may be behind some of this. I think there's a lot of people that was hoping he would go somewhere other than Auburn. And so I don't know if that's influenced, you know, any of the authorities, in any way. But so anyway,
Dan, surely you're not insinuating that Alabama folks would have anything to do with any of this.
Well, no, I mean, we all know how lily white it is over in Tuscaloosa. So, I don't know. I mean, it just seems funny that there's been a lot of, and kids having some problems. I mean, that's all across the conference and across the country. But at least, and maybe it's because we do live in Alabama, we hear more. But it seems like, you know, occasionally you'll hear a little bit more about some of our, you know, prospective student athletes, and maybe some of the guys that you hear about maybe going to transfer to schools in Alabama that maybe committed other places. You don't hear quite as much, you know, there's not as much uproar about it. So, but anyway.
Right. Well, and the latest on D-Liner obviously is that supposedly he is no longer on his high school team. My understanding was he had had an altercation with one of the coaches and had walked off of practice and was suspended indefinitely. And, of course, you know, you hear all kinds of things. You know, he was going to Muscle Shoals High School. I've even heard reports that maybe he actually lives in Sheffield's school district. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the High School Athletic Association, you know, they'll have to make sure that he's eligible to go back to Sheffield and play. High School Athletic Association put in, you know, with the situation that happened at Clay Chalkford last year where they were 10-0 and getting ready to go to the football playoffs, and another school turned them in for playing an ineligible player. And basically the reason the player was ineligible was because he was not in good standing at his prior school. And so they've come up with a form now that the previous school that you're transferring from has to do a letter saying that you are in good standing at that school that you left. If you don't get that good standing letter, then you cannot play at the school that you're going to. So still a lot of unanswered questions as far as D-Liner, and will he be able to play his senior year? Of course, you know, it's one of those things where he's such a talented player. You know, I'm sure if Auburn investigates all this and finds out that, you know, that D just made a couple mistakes but really still a pretty good kid, you know, I'm sure that, you know, him not playing his senior year wouldn't keep him from being able to come on to Auburn next year and having a productive college career at Auburn, you know. So.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, he would stay, I'm sure would stay in the weight room. And, I mean, he honestly, Vic, what is he going to have to prove in his senior year in high school? If he can stay in shape, stay in the in the weight room, and like you say, if Auburn checks him out and finds him out to be a good character and good kid, which I'm sure obviously Coach Chizik and them do with everybody, I think the scholarship is still going to be there, no question.
Right. Well, I noticed today on Rivals hadn't actually released their new rankings, but they've changed some of them on their player profiles, and
right.
D-Liner is dropped down to the number 21 player in the country. And a little bit of question whether or not he'll still be a five-star or not, but it does look like maybe he will be. And a little bit of other recruiting news that's going on right now, Stan, I'm sure you're aware of, is Derek Green, the number one running back in the country on the Rivals site. He is, I think, ranked the number 13 player in the country. He was at Georgia yesterday, came to Auburn last night, has spent the day at Auburn, and has decided to spend another night in Auburn, which can't be anything but a good sign for Auburn. A lot of people speculating that he is an Auburn lean, and, you know, that he's a guy that might actually commit in, you know, the next few weeks, possibly early in the fall, and he'd be a great guy to add. And he would be a good replacement for Javon Robinson if Javon Robinson can't make it back, because Derek Green is about a 6-foot, 215 to 220-pound guy, so he'd be a bigger back and a guy that has a lot of and, of course, you know, I don't really like to get into the comparison things, but a lot of folks like to compare him to Trent Richardson, you know, which we know Trent was a great player and just played for the wrong school, you know, is the only thing. And but to have a guy like Trent Richardson on your team would not be too bad, huh?
No, I mean, I've read the same kind of things about the guy, that he's, you know, he is a bigger back. And I think Auburn would, you know, certainly would want to have one of those. So that is a good sign that he's staying over. I had not heard that. And I think that, again, if I wish it was, I wish signing day was coming up so that these guys that have committed, you know, we could go ahead and ink them up, because it's the class is looking, as you've mentioned several times, like one of the best ever, and that's amazing. Having the, if you look back at these last several classes that we signed, you know, getting talking about, you know, of course, you know, I had to eat a little crow last week because of, you know, Kyle Frazier wasn't named, you know, starting quarterback by last week. I never dreamed that we'd be 2 weeks out, Vic, with no starting quarterback. I mean, comment on that. Well, I mean, because I think you even felt like.
Well, I'm about to be mad at Coach Chizik. Now, I'm a huge Coach Chizik guy. I love the guy, but I'm about ready to call him out on this one now. You know, I just don't understand it. You know, I mean, everything that you read, you know, Clint Mosley's arm is not even ready. You know, he's not even getting any reps with the first team. Jonathan Wallace is basically taking all the reps with the second team. Clint will slide in there some on a few situations and things like that. And, of course, you get different reports. You know, you get guys saying, you know, Kyle Frazier looks good, you know, that he's, you know, that he's getting better, and you had the good reports from this summer. But, you know, then occasionally you'll read reports that, you know, somebody supposedly that had access to a practice that came back and said, you know, well, we got some quarterback problems. And then, of course, Friday, you know, Coach Chizik comes out and just really kind of ripped the quarterback, saying that we weren't getting the kind of quarterback play we need. And, you know, that's a real concern. And the fact that he's not willing to name a starter, that just don't look good to me. You know, and you look back at Coach Chizik's history, I know last year basically he did the same thing. 2 years ago, he went ahead and named Cam Newton the starter right after spring training. And so it's obvious that if he knows who the starter is going to be, he's not opposed to naming the guy the starter. You know, so is really Kyle struggling that bad?
Well, here's the thing about that, Vic. I've heard that even 2 years ago with Cam, you know, a couple of days after spring training, he basically said, you know, we don't know yet. And it was my understanding that at Coach Malzahn's urging that he went ahead and named Cam, like, I don't know, like 9 days or whatever it was after spring training ended. So there might have even been a sense that in 2010 he was going to maybe wait a little while in the fall camp. That may just be, you know, Coach Isaac's MO. I'm sure it is. Now, what's got some of the folks that I read concerned is when he says he's not separated himself, people say, well, wait a minute, Clint's not really practicing. You know,
Right. How
can you not have separation from a guy that's not really being able to compete for the job, and then the only other guy left? And, of course, I'll tell you this, Vic, everything I've ever read on Jonathan Wallace, I mean, has really been, and I know, I'm like you. There's no way you can go in. Well, there's a way, but you really wouldn't want to go in with a true freshman, you know, with our schedule. And
yeah, especially that guy was only a 3-star. Stan, come on, a 3-star guy can't come in and start.
Well, I mean,
everybody knows that.
I think we're going. That's one good thing. Even point out about all this recruiting stuff. I think we're going to find out Jonathan Wallace was not a 3-star, but and I've seen him interviewed. The guy's very poised.
Right.
I told somebody, I said, if this guy's 18, that's amazing. But, you know, I really don't know. I guess the lack of why you're not separating, does that mean he's missing open receivers? It can't be arm strength. Emory Blake's already told us that he can knock a wall down with the football. So I guess when you say that, you know, some people speculate maybe he's not, you know, not a vocal enough kind of take charge, you know, grab a guy around a, you know, shirt collar type guy. I don't know.
Right.
I mean,
I actually do know, Stan. I know what it is. Even our third string defense could stop Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or anybody like that. That's how good we recruit, and that's how good we are now. That's how good a job Coach Van Gorder's do it. You can't make a first down against our guys.
I will say this.
Maybe that's it, Stan.
I mean, this defense, if this defense is not, I mean, light years of what we've had the last 3 years, you know, except maybe the second half. You know, the 2010, people do forget, it seemed like it was two different defenses on the field. I mean, that second, you know, the second half adjustments and stuff, and I mean, you know, I mean, Oregon scores 19. So I don't know how you would play out overall. The overall numbers probably were not that great, even for the 2010 defense. But certainly, everything I've heard, again, I know you have, this defense is going to be, of any of my predictions, I think I would be the most disappointed if this defense doesn't look like you. It doesn't look like an old Auburn defense.
I mean, well, I agree. And to be honest with you, if of course, I was kind of joking about that, but if it's not a little bit been the case there, then, you know, it may be, I don't want to say a long year, but certainly not what we had hoped that it could be, you know. So, you know, just a lot of concerns, to be honest with you. I realize all teams have concerns, but, you know, just from looking at it and then looking at the amount of young guys that we've got playing, and it just makes you really worried, you know, that, you know, this thing, what if, you know, we like to talk about, hey, if we get off to that 4-0 start, you know, or 3-0 start, you know, what might happen or whatever, 2-0 start, or at least if we just be Clemson, you know. But man, what if the flip side is true? What if we get off to an 0-2 start?
Well, there's no question. I mean, this, and in fact, you know, I don't know if you saw the AP poll came out.
Right.
Came out this morning, and I was just jotting down. I mean, right off the bat, we play the second-ranked team, the third-ranked team, the sixth-ranked team, the tenth-ranked team, and the 14th-ranked team. Now, if there's many other teams in the country playing that kind of schedule, it'll obviously be in the SEC, and even within them, playing Georgia, LSU, and Bama, and Arkansas. I mean,
right.
Think about it. Vic, in the West, is number 2, 3, and 10th ranked teams in the nation in one division.
Right.
That is, yeah. You know, and I understand that. But again, it does start with Clemson. I mean, for a number of reasons. Clemson's going to have with that Chad Morris offense, even with the Watkins kid, if he ends up not playing. Chad Morris is the highest paid assistant in the country now. And I mean, I'm sure they're expecting, results to go with that high salary. So, this is not going to be I never thought that it was, but I think Auburn, you know, we were up 21-7 on them last year at their place. And if you look at our numbers from last year, Vic, we were 100th in the total offense, 80th in defense. We didn't have anywhere to go but up. And from what I've been seeing and hearing about Coach Van Gorder, if we're not better, I probably don't know anything about football at all. I mean, these guys, I mean, now you got Jonathan Evans coming on at linebacker, a senior. Bates is a senior and Holland a junior. The front line is juniors.
Yeah, that's one difference that we have on the defense side of the ball. You got some guys back there that's played, you know, that's been down there and are getting older in the classification part, you know. But, you know, and just on the flip side of that, on offense, you know, you don't have a lot of that, you know. So it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, we can't use the excuse. Now, granted, we don't have a lot of seniors on that defense. But, you know, once you get to be a junior and you've been down there 2 or 3 years, it's time for you to be producing on a high level, you know. So,
well, that's right.
You know,
I mean,
you know, so, you know, you don't have any excuses anymore after that, you know. So, now, obviously, you'd like to have a few seniors, you know, with some good leadership sprinkled in there, you know, and hopefully some of those guys will be able to provide that. But, and that's why all along I said, you know, maybe we're still a year away because, you know, next year we should have a little bit more senior leadership. And you think about all the guys that we got playing this year that are not seniors that have the potential to be back, you know, I mean, obviously then, you know, of course, you know, we talked about that a lot over the last few weeks about the difference in the schedule versus the difference in, having to go on the road and playing some of our tougher opponents, you know, the next year. But
I agree with you. Next year's team, I mean, barring injuries and all this kind of thing, all things being equal, next year's team will be better. I mean, all these
right.
guys, and I think we've got several guys that can play on Sunday sprinkled throughout both sides of the ball. And those guys will be another year older, all of them that are juniors that come back. But, Yeah, I mean, mine was, I mean, this the schedule, it really is, like 2010, is set up, you know, to play, you know, your tougher games at home. And again, I mean, it's, you know, it starts with Clemson, and then you go, I mean, it doesn't get any easier. Mississippi State is you know, is circled Auburn as the first conference game. And if you look at State's schedule, it's fairly favorable for them, especially if they were to get a win against us in week two. So, no, I mean, I don't have any illusion that it's going to be a cakewalk by any stretch. I just think, I don't know. I have to say, my confidence has been a little shaken with this quarterback thing. This whole can't separate.
I'm tired of hearing that, isn't it? And the key word, I think, this whole fall camp has been inconsistent, you know, and that's getting kind of old, too, you know. I'm like, it's one of those things where, okay, if the offense is going up and down the field, then your defense isn't playing very well. But if the defense, you know, is letting them go up and down the field, you know, then they're not doing well. But it's, you understand, it's just when you're playing against yourself, you know. Being Auburn guys, you really want the defense to be good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, wins forever, you know. So, like, give me a defense that's going to stop people, and then I'll say we got a chance. Because, to be honest with you, our kicking game is good.
You're saying
going to win with defense and kicking game, that's nothing wrong with that.
Well, no, you're right. And I have heard that even in the fall camp, as much as that Clark and Parkey have looked the part of All-American, both of them.
Right.
I mean, if you can make that much improvement or whatever in a fall camp as a kicker, you know, and as a punter, apparently both of those guys, I mean, apparently Clark's on his way to the NFL. I mean, it's just, and maybe even Parkey. I mean, they say that they're that good. And so you're right. I mean, if Clark is kicking the ball through the roof with hang time, and if our defense is significantly better, and I think you believe it is, don't you?
I really do.
Van Gorder,
you know,
and Martinez.
I'm just telling you, the guys that just so excite me. Well, here's the thing. Here's one thing that excites me, too. You know, we didn't talk a whole lot about the defensive backfield last week, but, you know, the guys that I thought would be starting back there were probably going to be Demetrius McNeil and Enrique Florence.
Right.
You know, but if Ryan Smith and Jermaine Whitehead beat those guys out, I'm telling you what, you know, those guys have to be pretty darn good. And Chris Davis, you know, he's shown signs of being a really good corner. And then, you know, Therese or
T. Shaver.
Sharpet Bale, right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those guys, they've got a lot of experience, you know, and extremely talented guys. So I just, you know, I'm like you on that. And then when you start thinking about, okay, Jonathan Evans is a senior, Jake Hollins is a junior, Darren Bates is a senior. No, those ain't the most highly touted linebackers in the world, but they're all upperclassmen. You know, they've all played a lot of football.
I mean, yeah. I here's the thing, Vic. All I needed to hear about Jonathan Evans was the way that, because, you know, Coach Van Gorder, you know, it's like getting a compliment from General Patton to get him to say, you know, I mean, he's one of those old throwback, never satisfied guys that we love, that we've grown to love at Auburn, but. He even said that Jonathan Evans had caught his eye. And, he, you know, two or three days, he said, you know, this guy's around the football. He's got a knack for – I'm telling you, Jonathan Evans, if he can stay healthy, is going to have a big year. And Bates has been solid, Vic. I mean,
he is.
I mean, he's not going to be flashy. And he's like, like Carlos Dansby type guy. He's smaller.
Right.
But, I mean, Bates has made a lot of stinking tackles in his time at Auburn.
Yeah.
And I guess the one guy that's excited me more, of course, you know, I've been a Holland guy from the first, but everybody is now saying in the last, say, week 8 days, Jake Holland, as far as his calls, setting the defense, has really improved. I mean, it's like a light came on for the guy. So I'm telling you, man, if we put the people in the right, if we're lined up right, I mean, they, you know, D Ford and Lemonnier is just going to – I mean, they're going to blow some people up.
Yeah. I think you're right on that. Now, I think if we can put people in those third and longs, you know, last year that was really our Achilles heel. We couldn't get off the field. Third and eight, third and seven, third and ten. How many times over and over again did we see teams complete those, you know? I don't think that's going to be the case this year. If we can force those third and longs, I think most of the time we're getting off the field, you know. So and that'll be huge, you know, especially if it does turn out that we're having to play a little ball control and run the ball and you know, just kind of move the chains a little bit and play ball field position.
Field position, right. Field position.
You know, that's going to be huge, you know. So, but, you know, of course, then the other thing is, you know, you're hearing good things about receivers, you know, making plays. We know Lutz and Kirk can do it, and they're really talking up Brandon Fultz. And, you know, so many guys that's got so much talent, you know. I mean, surely they can come up with something that's going to work, you know. Right. You know, but, you know, young offensive line. Now, I'm glad to see Sullen seems to be worked his way back into the starting lineup and has kind of secured his spot back. And I think that helps to have that one senior out there. You know, I don't know that John Sullen is an NFL caliber guy, but he's played a lot of football at Auburn, and I just think it helps to have at least one senior out there on that offensive line. And if he, you know, he wouldn't be out there if he's not better than the other guys. So, you know, obviously he's doing a good job. And of course, old Alex Cozon keeps holding on, don't he?
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, you called him. And the stuff I read about him, I heard a couple of players asked about him, and they said the guy. Apparently, you know, in offensive line IQ, I mean, he is Phi Beta Kappa. I mean, they said the guy knows, and you can tell. I mean, when these other guys are saying he knows his assignments, in fact, they asked Greg Robinson, you know, about him, and he said, you know, the guy knows where he's supposed to be, and
right.
I mean, you know,
I saw a quote I think from Jeffrey Whitaker that also not only talked about how he always knows his assignment. But he's got that nasty side of him, too, where he just, like, stays after it.
Till the whistle.
Plays through the whistle.
You're right.
All the way to the whistle. That's right. So you combine those two things, guy, and that's why you can't get him out of the lineup.
Well, you're right. And, I mean,
and that's extremely rare and impressive for a true freshman to come in and
freshman.
Do that. Yeah.
And, but, you know, I mean, Zimba played as, you know, as a true freshman. So we've had some guys that were special. That did that, and I mean Chad Slade can play, and then apparently this Robinson guy, again, not to jinx the guy, but I mean everything I've heard from everybody, and you know he's been in there. I mean, Vic, there's never been a question about whether he was since the spring.
Right.
They act like Greg Robinson's going. I mean, you know, 3 years, his next stop will be the NFL. I mean, apparently he's just that good.
Well, I'm sure that's true, Stan. It still concerns me, and let me tell you why. Like 2 years ago when we won the national championship, who did we have? We had Zimba, Pugh, who was those other starters?
Mosley was the first year guy.
Mosley was a junior. He was a first-year guy, but he was a junior college guy.
And then you had Pugh, and you had, who was
you
the?
You had Isom and, the other guy, Eric Berry.
Yeah, that's right. You had Barry
Mike
and Isom at guards and Zimba and Mosley.
You know, those two guys were redshirt seniors. You know, those guys had been there 5 years. Zimba and Pugh had been there 4 years. And, of course, Mosley was an older guy because of junior college. You know, I mean, so you had at least 4 year guys that had been there 4 years compared to this year's line where you got you got a true freshman, you got two second-year players in Dismukes and Robinson, and you got a third-year player in Slade, and then you got he's a redshirt, I think, isn't he? So he's a fifth-year guy. I believe he redshirted. You know, so that's just a big difference, you know, when you just compare those lines. Talent-wise, these guys actually are probably more talented than even that crew, even though that was a very talented crew. But I don't think Isom and Perry made it to the NFL, did they? I think they got shot.
No, they didn't, and even Lee got. I saw where he got cut the other day by the.
Panthers. Oh, did he really?
But I mean, I think you're looking at yes, you got some trade off. You had that experience line, and I mean, it would be hard to beat that line. I mean, that line, you know, opened up a lot of holes for Dyer, and of course Cam, you know, made a lot of his own holes.
He did,
but. I mean, I think this year's line, when Dismukes was, you know, freshman All-American, I think if he doesn't get hurt, he'll play on Sunday. Robinson plays on Sunday. Sullen, I don't think so. You know, I don't know about Chad Slade. Slade, I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of people think, you know, they think a lot of Slade that he was going to play somewhere on that offensive line. They just didn't know if it was going
right.
to be guard or tackle.
Right.
Whether I don't know if he'll be a Sunday player, but – and then who knows about Cozon? I mean, if this kid can You know, he may have that kind of ability. Because he's not only beaten out, he beat out some other pretty good freshmen, if in fact that's what happens.
Right. That's right.
I mean, we've got some guys that, like you said, we've got offensive line talent. It is way, way young. But for some reason, I don't know if that's going to be the problem. I mean, like I say now, I'm just wondering, who are you going to snap it to? I mean,
yes, that's kind of always the most important position on the field,
That's right. I mean,
Kyle Frazier's going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate by next year. I'm telling you.
Well, you're right.
His arm is stronger than Cam Newton's.
He's going to be
Emory Blake said so.
He's going to be the first Heisman to be the backup to Jonathan Wallace. That's going to be crazy.
That's right.
I mean, nobody's ever heard of that.
How about that?
I don't know. I'm hearing Frazier's getting all the snaps. It's going to be Frazier. I say, let's just go out there. I mean, because you know what was funny? They asked Coach Chizik, somebody in the press conference said, well, are you sure you're going to name a starter by game time? And Coach Chizik said, well, of course. But
what are you waiting on, Coach? But, you know, it is still 2 weeks away. You know, I imagine first part of this week, you know, they'll name a starter and to go ahead and start getting everything ready. And I think everybody knows it's going to be Frazier. You know, if it was obvious to everybody, you know, maybe why didn't you go ahead and do it, you know, and go ahead and let Kyle know he's the guy and so he could just relax and work on. You know, I don't think Kyle's the kind of kid that's going to, you know, start letting up, you know, simply because he'd been named the starter. I think that might even inspire him to work a little harder if that's possible. But it might help him relax a little bit, knowing that he's the man. And then, you know, just, you know, you want that starting quarterback to be the leader on your offense. And I think Kyle's been a leader, but at the same time, once he knows he's the guy, you know, that may take that leadership up another notch, you know. So, but like I said, there's still 2 weeks. And so, you know, it's not like there's not time to get all that accomplished. It's just as fans, we're out here waiting on it to happen, and we want it to know. And you know, to be honest with you, I wanted to hear that Kyle Frazier's just, you know, far superior than everybody else we got.
Well, sure.
You know, and
you didn't
want to
hear about the
you
didn't want to hear about the inconsistency and the lack of separation, did you?
No. I don't want to keep hearing all the positive comments about Jonathan Wallace. You know, when I want to hear some good stuff about Kyle Frazier. Me too. I'm happy about him too. But at the same time, he's not going to be our starting quarterback this year. I don't think.
Here's the thing, though, Vic. If Clint's arm is on and off, I mean, maybe Jonathan Wallace gets some snaps in that first game, mate, because maybe he is the number two guy, and you just about got to have a number two guy playing some, don't you?
No.
I think you
do. No, you don't. You don't have to have a number two guy playing some.
Play some. You got to have him. Yes, you got to have him taking a few.
The backup guy for the New England Patriots is not playing, is not going to play on Sunday. He's just not, unless it's 45-0 late in the fourth quarter.
College is a little bit different than the NFL. I mean, usually those guys that are standing on the NFL sideline, they're in the NFL for crying out loud. They should be ready to kind of come in to take a snap. If Frazier goes down and you hadn't had your backup guy play at all, I just don't know how smart that is.
Well, again, I mean, if we're up 28 on Clemson late in the fourth quarter, then, you know, maybe you stick him out there a little bit if you know for sure that he's going to have to be ready to go this year. But I still think that what they'll try to do is redshirt Jonathan Wallace. I don't think they would burn his eligibility a year just to, you know, to get some mop-up duty, to be honest with you. And to be honest with you, I don't think that would be very smart. You know, now I know they don't do a lot of redshirting much anymore, but the quarterback position, I think, is a little bit different. And I don't think they're going to burn that eligibility just to be burning it. And,
You stay optimistic that
Kyle's going to stay injury free, and you stay optimistic. Hopefully, that Clint's arm's going to be good enough to at least, you know, play in those games. Maybe against Alabama A&M when we got to put a backup guy in there. You know.
I don't see it that way. I mean, I think you're going to see the guy, somebody, whoever's the backup. And it may be Clint. And I'm hoping it is Clint. I hope his arm's well enough. I think you're going to see him in there some at, you know, against Lyman Rowe and some of that kind of stuff. But we'll see. I mean,
I know you're thinking 14-0 this year, but I'm not sure the coaches are thinking 14-0 this year. But, you know, obviously that's what they're going to try to do. That's what they're going to go out to try to win every game. But, you know, I think you do got to be smart about, you know, down the road. Let's say Jonathan Wallace is the real deal, and he's going to be your future quarterback. Well, let's say Kyle stays and is the quarterback as long as Kyle's there, and he stays three more years. Well, I think you'd want to have a Jonathan Wallace at least available for 2 years after that, you know. So,
well, I mean, of course, you got a kid they're recruiting out of, you know, Carver that I think they think is, I mean, awfully good. So I don't know how that kind of, you know, comes into the equation.
Well, that's true. You know, of course, you know, he is good. But, you know, the neat thing about what Jonathan Wallace is doing, he's doing it down there in at college. You know, whereas Jeremy Johnson is doing it at Carver High School in Montgomery.
Well, that's only because it's the only place he can do it right now.
Well, I realize that, you know, but you never know how those guys are going to translate to the college level. You know,
well,
I mean,
sure.
how many guys have been bust? You know, and I'm not saying Jonathan Wallace is going to make it yet. I mean, but he sure is getting a lot of good publicity and a lot of good praise for this early in his career, you know. And it may just be because they know he's got to be the number two guy and they want him to have some confidence. But, you know, I mean, we're down to having a true freshman as our quarterback if Kyle gets hurt, if Clint can't go. That's a little scary.
Do you think somewhere Barrett Trotter's thinking maybe he should have taken that last year? I mean, honestly, the way he looked in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and given everything you've heard, where would BT be in this mix? Well, anyway, I guess, yeah, I mean, that's a waste of time. But you wonder somewhere if he's not thinking, wow, maybe I'd have had a better shot at this than I thought I did.
But you know, the truth is, Stan, even as good as he looked in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, Auburn fans would be hoping the starting quarterback back this year was going to be Kyle Frazier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's true. You know, they want the guy that was highly touted coming in.
Exactly.
The guy with the big arm, you know. And, you know, now Barrett may actually have been the best candidate to lead us this year. I don't know that for sure. Like, again, I'm hoping that Kyle Frazier is the real deal, and the coaches are just trying to keep his head on straight a little bit, and he's going to put up some big numbers this year, you know.
Well, I mean, he's got all the, you know, the punt, pass, and kick statistics type thing. And when you go back and look at his stuff, and I even read some stuff where a guy went back and looked at him in high school, was looking back at some of his film, and said he actually thought Kyle looked more relaxed, obviously, in high school, not even from the competition, just he just was letting it rip. And so maybe Kyle, you know, maybe it is just still a little bit of stage fright, you think?
Could be, you know. I mean, you're right. He's not far removed from high school, and you know, until he gets out there and is the man in a game and leads us on a big drive, or, you know, does some good stuff. You know, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions there, and, you know, that's why it's just hard to get too excited yet till you know what he's going to do when the pressure's on. Even if he does look good in practice, even he does do it, you know, in scrimmages and things like that. That's not the same as doing it out there, you know, in the Georgia Dome against Clemson. So.
Well, I just, you know, I feel for him only because, you know, he came out of spring, and of course it was because Clint was injured, but he came out of spring as the number one quarterback. And so almost what you're saying is where you can't at least say he's number one, it's almost like he's gone backwards. I mean, he was number one coming out of spring. Well, it seems like to me Clint would have had to have done something, you know, impressive to have at least
–
you know, if you want to come out and say, well, you know, are we still looking for more from Kyle? We're looking for this from Kyle. A little bit. We want him to be a little more consistent. But you still have to say, but he's still number one because he was from spring, and Clint hadn't done anything in the fall camp to change that.
Exactly.
Maybe we're missing this whole thing, Vic. Maybe the whole thing
has been... Do I need to give you an opportunity to rethink your prediction this year?
Well, I'm on record, so I'm going to stay with it.
I'm not going to let you anyway, but I just...
Well, I know. I appreciate it.
I'm starting to see it. Maybe you should have listened to me right up from the beginning. That's what I'm starting to hear.
I'm going to stay with 14. I mean, I think that there's some other aspects of this team that I think this defense is going to be a lot better than I think any of us even kind of can imagine just because of the way it's been the last few years. I think we're thinking an improvement would be, you know, this, you know, when I think it might be. We might end up putting a defense like some of the other conference brethren have put out there on the field the last few years.
Right.
I can see where that. I mean, from what I'm reading from those guys, they are brimming with confidence. So,
right.
You know, maybe it won't come down to. I mean, I feel pretty confident. Whoever we put under center can, you know, hand it to the tailback and running behind Prosh and like
right.
You say, maybe it's going to be a. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago that Auburn could win games on defense and kicking game and all that. I mean, obviously,
exactly.
Coach Dye, you know, preached it, and Coach Turberville had several teams like that. So, yeah, I'm gonna still, you know, I'll be backpedaling if we don't take it to Clemson. Until that, because of still, I mean, you know, I don't know what's going on down there at the Bayou still. I mean, you know, you kick off the Honey Badger.
Right.
I want to see LSU be number three before I'm ready to give them number three just because what you were a year ago. I don't know, maybe that's just a personal thing that's kind of gotten to me a little bit, that certain teams seem like,
right.
Boy, they're going to be handed to, you know, all y'all going to be national champions again. I don't care if you lost 55 players off your team.
Right.
Yeah,
so. I agree. And it's not like we haven't recruited well, too, you know. So, like, you know, hey, we got some pretty talented guys. And it's just like we talked about before. Everybody has some question marks. You know, yeah, we got some. We got our share, maybe even more than
sure.
our share. But, you know, the reality is we got guys that are talented that if they come through, we can be just as good as anybody. Now, it's still hard to win all your games, but, I mean, you can
well,
be as
right.
good as anybody, you know. But, anyway, boy, we're getting close, Stan. I mean, we're talking a couple of weeks away, and, you know, this week I think will be an interesting week because I will think you'll see some position battles start to, you know, sort of figure it out. I think we've already seen a lot of that. You know, they pretty much have locked in on Dee Ford and Lemonnier for the defensive end. Blackson is hanging in there at the defensive tackle spot. Evans looks like he may secure that other linebacker spot. You know, you got a lot of things that seems like they're starting to happen, even though there's still some good competition going on. You know, probably by next Sunday night, we'll have a good idea of, you know, where we stand as far as who won the battles, and we'll be able to talk about, you know, what we think is going to happen next week and, you know, then that next Saturday, you know, based on the guys that looks like it's going to be out there for the most part.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, the coaches have pretty much come out and said that, they would be wanting to name the starters pretty soon, which, you know, I mean, like you say, after this time next week, we're into game week. So,
that's right.
I mean, this, and of course they got off today and tomorrow. So I'll be again shocked if I know that the coaches of some of this, Vic, I honestly believe is just kind of coach speak, keeping other teams maybe as much as they can off balance to know who, but I don't honestly think that the coaches don't know who's going to be starting for them. That doesn't mean in a lot of these positions we're not going to. I mean, on defense, we're going to play a lot of defensive ends. I mean, the defensive ends themselves have already. I saw Ladarius Owens saying, you know, he's going. So I mean, you're going. Yeah, it's going to be Dee Ford and Lemonnier, but it's going to be Nosa. It's going to be Ladarius Owens. It may be Delaney. Certainly Craig Sanders is going to get in there. So, I mean, Ken Carter's going to be rotating in on defensive tackle, and Gabe Wright. I mean, we got a lot of players.
We do.
And,
you know, and that's why it's neat, really, to be honest with you, the coaches hadn't named starters because you want those guys competing right up to the first game, trying to earn those spots, you know. So that's, you know, recruiting, then, no, I agree with you.
Defensively especially, I mean, I'm not worried about – I mean, Coach Van Gorder, Coach Martinez, Coach Steve and Coach Pelton, they know – and I mean, they sound and seem like they're on the same page. Coach Van Gorder and Coach Martinez, they've coached together so many different – I mean, that's why we
right.
went out and got him.
Right.
And Coach Thigpen, by most accounts, is right back where he wanted to be, where he's – you know, he was an all-conference linebacker himself at Carolina. Coach Pelton, from what I hear, is really, he's an Auburn guy. I love the guy. So, defensively, Vic, I mean, if we go out there and lay an egg, I don't think anybody would be more surprised, I mean, except every other person. I mean, that defense is where we have, it just seems like we've been on the same page now for a while. So, I don't have a problem there. Offensively, that's where you don't hear a lot. You know, Coach Leffler, you know, he's not one of these guys that just likes to just pontificate on and on about it. And so there's not been a lot coming out on that side. But, I mean, the receivers, I keep hearing a lot. You know, I mean, Emory Blake, I mean, come on. I mean, he's as good as there is in the conference. I mean, second-team all-conference preseason pick. And you know what he's done when he's been healthy at Auburn. Trevante Stallworth has been probably has been playing steady. They said Trevon Reed has been steady in practice. So, you know, again, if Kyle Frazier ends up being the guy and can really, you know, can just maybe trust the guys around him, I mean, you don't have to. You can get the hands in, you can get the ball in the hands of some other guys pretty quick and be pretty successful. So, like you say, this week will be. As far as knowing maybe who, what to settle, how we're going to settle on the offensive line, if Cozon is actually able to hold off, you know, Westerman and some of the others, you know, we'll learn that kind of stuff. And again, everybody's going to be looking to see what happens at quarterback.
Exactly. I think we'll know by next Sunday. They're looking forward to talking about it.
Yep. That's pretty much it, Keith. This week, I think we've got it covered. And like I say, next Sunday will be a big. Big show getting ready for the game the following Saturday.
All right, guys, it sounded good tonight. We'll definitely see everybody, and hopefully all our fan base will show up next week as well. We'll try to have the podcast out there in just a little while, and look forward to talking to you guys next week, game week. We'll look forward to that. Talk to you later.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good. Enjoy it, guys.
War Eagle.